Today's Mishnah, Masechet Kelim, brought to you by Yerushalayim Yira Kodesh, is Kelim Perek Shmini. We're holding in Mishnah Gimel. So, we were talking about cases of mixing of airspaces, and where something is considered to be within the airspace of the surrounding Kli, or in a separate airspace, and therefore it would be protective of whatever's inside of it, wouldn't allow the Tumas Hasheretz into the Toch of the Tanner, because Tocho velo Toch Tocho, or cases where it would be only acting as a mechitza, which doesn't work in a kli. So a case of a srida. So a srida is something which, it's not locus exactly, whether it's a dough mixing kli, or the important thing about it is that it has holes in the bottom to allow excess water to drip out. And it's on top of a tanur, it's the tuna al pi tanur, but it's shokat l'tocho, because of the fact that it's something like a bowl, and it goes down. So when you put this on top of a tanur, it has to have its bottom part into the tanur. Ve'en la gapayin, it does not have anything around it. It's just a bowl, it doesn't have handles or anything like that. So then the din is that asheretz v'tocha tanur tama, tameh. Because this srida, because of the holes in it, is not considered to be a complete kli, and therefore it will not be a chatzitza, because you cannot break up a kli by putting something in the way like a piece of cardboard, and that's all the srida is. And it's not toch tocho, because it doesn't have a din of a kli, and therefore if a sheretz is in the srida, in the bowl, the lower part of the bowl, which is inside the airspace of the tanur, the tanur is tameh, and if a sheretz is in the tanur, and there's foodstuffs, erchon shebetocha in the srida, will be tameh, because ein matzilin miyad kli cheres ela kelim. By definition, the only thing that can prevent the tumah in the avir of a kli cheres from being transferred through the space itself is if it's inside of another kli. And a srida is not considered to be a proper kli. A chavit shehi melea mashkin tahorin unetuna lemata min nechushtor shel tanur. Now how about if you've got a sunken in the ground barrel and it's directly beneath the lower part of the tanur. So then if the sheretz is in the tanur, and it's not sticking into the tanur, but it's right at the opening, there we go. The picture shows, I'm not quite sure what it shows. Okay, fine. All right, so it shows the liquid in the barrel directly up against the bottom of the tanur. See, remember, the tanur itself is open at the bottom, and just on the ground, so that is not considered to be in the tanur, even though it's touching the airspace. It's not in the airspace, and you do not become tameh by touching the airspace. And therefore, if a sheretz is in the tanur, the liquids in the chavit are tohar. The chavit itself is certainly tohar, for a completely different reason. There is no way for a kli to be metame a kli. The kli cheres itself, as we learned in Chulin, is not turned into an av hatuma. It's only turned into a rishon hatuma that was mekabel tuma from the sheretz, which is the av. And therefore, even when it gives off tuma through its airspace, and even if the sheretz is in its airspace, it's not as if the airspace is full of sheretz tuma. Oh, no, 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 no. The airspace is not tummy. Therefore, touching the airspace does not make you tummy, does not bring you in touch with the sheretz. And therefore, it is fundamentally different than the concept of Tumas Mace, where the entire area is tummy because of the presence of the mace, and it's as if you touch the mace. In the case of a sheretz, the sheretz would first be metame the keli, the tanur, and then the tanur would be metame whatever is in it. So it's become attenuated twice in being metame anything else, which explains why a tanur can only be metame mashkin, erchlenu mashkin, you see, which is certainly totally different than the din of Tumas Meis. So this brings out the other issue. We started with explaining how a mechitza is a useless idea when it comes to a kli. And now we're delving more deeply into the idea by showing that the entire concept of ohel and Avir Kli Cheres is so different that really it should not be compared at all. And therefore, the chavis itself would have been tahor even if it were inside the tanur mamash, because you can't be metame a kli with the kli cheres, because the kli cheres is only a rishon l'tuma and kelim mekavlim tuma elamin avatuma. But even the mashkim are tahorim. Haytak fuya upia lavir hatanur hasheretz betanur mashke tofeach shebishuleach avit tahor. Now, how about if you have it upside down on top of the tanur? Now, obviously, if it's upside down, it's not holding very much liquid, but there's liquid that's still attached to the wall and is not dripping out. What's the din of that liquid? The mouth of the chavit in this case, even if it were inserted into the actual airspace of the tanur, but the bottom of the tanur, of the chavis, which is now on top, of course, because it's upside down, and that has liquid on it, but it is outside of the airspace. If there is a sheretz in the tanur, then the mashka hatofeach shebishulei chavit remains tahor, even though there are really serious drops on top of the chavit, which is the bottom of the chavit, when it, here it's upside down. They are not going to be mekabel tuma because the drops are not in the avir, and therefore they were not mekabel tuma. And the kli itself, which is the chavit, is not mekabel tuma from the avir kli cheres. What it boils down to is that even liquids that are outside of the direct airspace will remain tahor. There's all kinds of wonderful special dinim that we've learned from here. So the mashke tofeach will remain the tahor, unless, of course, it's liquid on the sides of the chavis that is inserted into the avir hatanur. Next, Mishnah Dalet. Kidera shehi netuna betanur. Let's say that you take a pot. You put the entire pot into the tanur, so that the air spaces are mixed. Now, if there's a sheretz in the tanur, not in the kedera itself remains tahor. Why? Because ein kli cheres metame kelim. There is no way that a kli cheres itself will be metame the kelim, because the Torah mentions beferish, kol asher betocho yitma, anything in the tanur will be tamei as long as it is mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. Only if it is a foodstuff. What is the Torah coming to tell me? Why only if it's a foodstuff? From here we learn that A, the airspace is not considered to be molei tuma, because if the airspace was molei tuma because of the sheretz, there would be no possible excuse for mikola ochel. Because even though you could say the excuse is if it's a kli cheres inside of a kli cheres, it will not be mekabel tuma from its outside. Well, what if it's a metal pot? Then why would the Torah say only if it's food? And if I put a metal pot inside the kli cheres that has a sheretz in it, isn't a metal pot going to become tummy from a sheretz? Kamash malan, that the sheretz itself was only gave off the tuma to the kli cheres with attenuation. And then the kli cheres has to further be attenuated one step when it gives off tuma, all of which makes it absolutely clear that there is no way for us to be metame the kli itself. If inside of the pot there was, in fact, mashkim, even a little bit, enough to be tofeach, that if you touch them, your hand gets wet and will touch whatever it will wetten whatever it touches, then the mashka, of course, is tame. Because since over here the airspace of the pot and the airspace of the inside of the tanur are mixed, because you put the whole pot in, then ein achinami. And tim'ah. But what happens here is amazing. Because remember that the Rabbanan made a takana that liquids should be metame kelim, which is weird. Why did we make that? Because there are liquids, in fact, that are metame kelim. Those would be liquids like the Mayanot HaZav. Obviously, if you're going to have certain liquids that are tame as an avatuma, they will be metame kalim. We don't want people to get the idea that liquids, I mean, suppose a zov urinated, had a little bit of urine on his fingers and touched a kli. It would be tame midiraisa. So because of that, in order to make certain that we don't get confused about the issue, the Rabbanan made a takana that if mashkim touch a kli, then they are metame the kli. Now, of course, they made all kinds of weird dinim that are associated with this so that people will remember it's only the Rabbanan not to be served truma v'kachin. But nonetheless, that's the halacha. So now if there was enough mashke tofeach, and tofeach means it made you wet, would make your hand wet enough so that if you touch something else, it would wet. Then, if that's the case, the mashkin themselves, which became tame because of the avir of the klicheres, weird, will turn around and be metame the klicheres itself. If these mashkin tameim, since these mashkin tameim touched the kli that they were in, and now the klicheres will be mekabel tuma because of tuma's kalim from mashkin. Hareze omer. Now, this pot, which is also a kli, this pot is really confused. Says Mr. Pot to the damp water or oil that was inside of it. I don't understand. That which was metame you, namely the avir kli cheres, could not be metame me. So how the heck could you turn around and now be metame me? That's nutty. So mitamecha lo timuni, vatati metani, you can't possibly hurt me, but the pot is wrong. And because of the strange gezeira derabonan, that which made the liquid tame, which could not have made the pot tame, makes the liquid tame sufficiently to make the pot itself tame. So how about if you've got a chicken, and this chicken swallowed a sheretz? Now, you know what Grandpa Chuk would have said if you asked him what's the best way to stuff a chicken? He would have said, fill it up with mealyworms, right? So sure enough, this chicken went right ahead and stuffed itself with shrutzim. Oh, now this chicken falls into an avir ha-tanur. As long as chicken is alive, the tanur is tahar, because a tuma belua is not metame. Not because of chatzitza, remember. But the din of tuma belua is that it actually loses its tuma. And therefore, if we would have forced a beautiful metal ring down the throat of this chicken, and it came directly into contact with the sheretz, it would not be mekabel tuma because the sheretz is not metame while it is belua. However, unfortunately, this tanur was a little bit too warm for chicken to be comfortable in. And chicken eventually gave up its life. At that moment, the tanur becomes tame, because at that moment, the sheretz is no longer balua, and the fact that it's surrounded by chicken meat does not mean it's balua. Balua means it's inside of a living organism. Therefore, if chicky dies, tanur is tame. A sheretz shenimtza betanur, hapache betocho shnia, shahatanur techila. And boiling it all down to make it very clear to you, if a sheretz was found in a tanur, and there was bread that was being baked in that tanur, the bread is only a sheni letuma, because the tanur that was mekabel tuma from the sheretz, which is an avatuma, is only a rishon letuma, and a rishon letuma makes a sheni letuma. Mishnah Vav. Now the question is, how do these issues relate to the concept of tumat mate? Because when it comes to tumat mate in an ohel, over there we have completely different ideas about the way that the tuma affects kli cheres. And interestingly enough, over there we have the din that kol kli patuach asher ein tzamit pasil alav tamehu. Any open kli, and that, of course, what do we care if a kli is open? Because a kli cheres, if it isn't open, does not have a surface that can become tame, because a kli cheres is only mekabel tuma me'avira. And therefore, if it is sealed with a tight-fitting seal, and that's the din of tzomit patil, a tight-fitting seal, And therefore, the Torah is telling me, if it's completely sealed, then it would be tahor. Obviously, a metal kli, which is mekabel tuma even from its outside, it would be irrelevant whether it has a seal on it or not, because its outside is exposed. So, if you have a beit seor, this is a type of kli that you store your sourdough in, and it's mukaf tzamid patil. So it's got this very tight fitting cover on it. V'natum etoch hatanur. This entire thing, this entire beit seor, is, even today we do that, right? We put the beit seor either into the tanur or on top of the tanur so that the dough is warm and rises better. Then if the seor, inside of the seor, there's sheretz bitocho, that is inside of the beit seor, the akeretz binatayim, the beit seor has in it a space that is separated with this little wall in the beit seor, because remember that sourdough, each day's sourdough is different and needs to be given its chance to rise. So if the keretz, the question is like this, if this keretz, which is the mechitza, is in between the seor that's in the beit seor and the sheretz, and this keretz, which is a mechitza, now goes all the way up to the tzamid patil, which is on top. So that means that the entire thing are mukafim tzamid patil separately, because I have one part of the kli that is completely surrounded with a tzamid patil with the sheretz, and one part of the kli that's completely surrounded by a tzamid patil, including its own walls, obviously. With the seor, the halacha is, interestingly, the tanur itself becomes tummy because of the sheretz inside of the beit seor. But the seor, which is next door to the sheretz and is inside of the beit seor, it is tohar, because when it comes to the din of a tzamid patil, it saves the din of tumas mace. Anything surrounded by, please mute yourself, Baruch Avram. It saves anything which is in a connection to a mace, is exposed to a mace, that is surrounded by a tzamid patil, is not going to become tame. And therefore, the seor is completely surrounded by a tzamid patil. Masha Einkein, the part where the sheretz is inside of it, is mitame the tanur as well. And even though we say that normally we say toch tocho, but over here, since we have a beit seor that is entirely inside of this toch hatanur, for some reason, and we're going to have to figure out why, we're not viewing this as toch tocho. If there was a kezayit inside of the beit seor, then the tanur and the bayit, where the whole tanur is in, the whole thing becomes tamei betumas ohel, even though the seor remains tahor, which is amazing, because the seor itself is surrounded by a tzamid pasil, even though it's inside of an ohel hameis. If there would be a poteach tefach, so let's say between the area of this keretz, which is the mechitza, and the seor, and the kezayit of the mate has a whole poteach tefach. Now this means it's surrounded on all sides. It's tefach al tefach. So then, hakol tamei, because if there was an opening of poteach tefach, so you have a square of one tefach by one tefach that exposes the seor, then that is sufficient to be mevi a tuma, and even if it would be normally be in a different room, the tuma would go through the door into that room. Now, we're going to have to understand tomorrow, unfortunately, because we're over time, why it is that if the thing is completely closed from the outside, there is no mixing of air spaces, so why in the world would we say that if there is a sheretz there, that it's not considered to be toch tocho? That's something that we'll have to discuss tomorrow and listen to the various shitot.
On Sunday.
Barnea's making his big push over here about not learning Mishnah on Friday. And I asked you last week to please give me your considered opinion about this issue. I understand that Matzah Shabbos indeed is tight. I understand that Shabbat Friday morning is tight because Bruce is trying to get his challah before Richie does, and you never know what Richie may do even from India when it comes to challahs. But how about Friday morning? So please send me in. On, we have a daf thing, right? A daf WhatsApp. So please send me in your opinions. Do you want to follow Barnea's lead about not doing Mishnah in the future?
And right, and having time to chazer and giving Rebbe time to focus on Parsha and the writing frameworks and other things? Or do we want the pressure to stay up on Rebbe that even on Friday he has to give another separate shiur?
Just sounds like Rebbe's getting upset that there's no Mishnah on Friday.
No, I miss the Mishnah terribly. You feel naked. I mean, what happens? The daf finishes and then you go off. Like, what? It's sort of like whoever comes to the Beit HaKnesset every day and he doesn't show up one day, miyad Ashkina Shah, what happened to him? Then the question is, you're going to have to answer.
The writing frameworks is a good teretz.
No galo, no galo. In love, lo no galo. Anyway, what time do we meet Matzah Shabbos?